And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here along with Rock God Rick. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the very busy San Diego Arena. The RP's in, the Islanders in, and lots of other stuff going on here this morning.
Down at the Tomahawk. Oh, it's going to be a big day today.
Big day today, yeah, for sure. Bill Varney, surf fishing expert, is here talking surf fishing. Lots and lots of texts, but calls. We need your calls. 213-432-1090.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, what a day to not only talk to this the premier expert in surf fishing with Bill Varney, but also an opportunity to win a great prize. Thanks for our good friends up at Gamakatsu. One lucky caller or texter, and as always, you know, that's decided by the coin flip at the end of the show, is going to win a full Gamakatsu package that includes the brand new DuraScent worms for fishing the surf. It's got Gamakatsu surf fishing hooks, and then also those brand new ceramic braid scissors. Very, very cool from our friends at Gamakatsu.
And those new braid scissors, the ceramic ones, they don't rust. Brilliant, right? Yeah. I mean, like, scissors are great for their Spectre scissors, and so ceramic doesn't rust.
Yeah,
so then they have a nice big handle, small blade. Big handle, perfect. Yeah, so and pretty reasonably priced. I think $13 or something like that.
So rad. Great move. You know, I wanted to talk real fast. So obviously, the surf fishing is fantastic, but you know, we're talking about all those big fish and like the ebb and flow, and how, you know, there has been some amazing hits over the last few days, and there's been some tough ones. Well, you know, we were lucky enough to have Captain Gavin and Matt on from Captain's Conference a couple days ago, and he was alluding to that. You know, like, you know, the whole, you know, you don't want to go when it's wide open. You want to go when you can, and all those cliche things. And he said the same thing. Like, the fishing's been slow, and we've got a group going on a 3-day trip. You know, it's a charter that they do a lot. They call themselves the Pacific Queen Killers. And he said all those guys are going to be pumped, knowing that the fishing wasn't wide open. He's like, they're like sending me texts going, "Hey man, I'm sure stoked. It's slowed down. Get ready for our trip." Well, that trip came back this morning and had 83 fish over 100 pounds.
Oh,
yes,
83.
Yeah, I said that right.
3-day trip.
83 over 100.
Holy mackerel.
How about that, dude?
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Unbelievable.
And that is it. You know, it's a peak in a valley, and it's ebbs and it's flows, and you just, those guys stay at it all night, and they fish
and that's
hard.
The thing I was going to say, there's the guys that are up all night.
No doubt,
fishing hard.
Yeah. And they're, you know, the captain and crew is putting maximum effort into it, but every bit as important is 100% of those passengers are up the entire time jigging and have the right gear. And,
right.
And, you know, you put on the fish and they make them pay, and 83 over 100 came back this morning.
Yeah, that's that was contrast to the week, to the trip prior. It was pretty slow, I thought.
Exactly.
Gavin. And here's interesting, of course, it was on a full moon. So this time I went fishing on a full moon. It's like, okay, I'm not going fishing on that full moon again. But you know what's going to happen next time?
It's going to bite.
It's
going to
bite full speed on the full moon, because you never know.
Like I say,
right?
Man, if you caught them, great. You caught them because you are a fantastic angler. And if you missed, well, it's because that damn moon. Nobody's going to catch them on that moon.
And that's what everybody, you know,
yeah, exactly.
The fishing was slow. Oh, it's the full moon. Or it's the dark of the moon.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
It's like, you know, we need some moon.
But I didn't catch them good because of the moon. I caught them good because I'm the man.
Yeah,
that's why I caught
them.
Like, I only missed because of the moon. Nobody's catching them on this. So.
You know what's funny, Rick, is I got to witness somebody catching a big bluefin on the Royal Star there on the jigging outfit with the powerful reel,
like a dedicated true
speed jigging outfit, short rod where you don't use the rod to bend or use the rail or anything. You point right at it and you turn the handle. you know, he landed the fish. He hooked the fish. He hooked the fish when nobody else hooked the fish on that gear. I don't want any of that. Sorry.
That's
it's like, it's just, I am a rail guy. Okay. I am totally good with catching fish up to 50, 60 pounds on that island.
Yeah.
None of that 120 pounds.
I was so ready for the story of like, yeah, he just, you know, bend and move and stick and stay. Next thing you know, caught the fish, it looked great. He's like, nah, I'm good. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, no doubt.
Because the guy that caught it, he's kind of, you know, a young guy in really good shape, and he was sweating and, you know, exhausted. I had to go sit down on the galley after that. I was like, nah.
You're good on that.
Not for me. Not for an almost 69-year-old guy, right? Good for that. Yeah.
That's funny.
But anyway, but it works.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And so when you get the killers like that, the PQ killers, man, that's probably what all those guys are doing, right?
Oh, my God.
But it's very, very effective.
No doubt. I mean, how about 83 over 100?
Holy
crazy. Easy, right?
That's just the one on the deck, right? What about the ones they didn't
shoot? Sure. Yeah, totally. Yeah, those guys. Very fun, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, the phones are packed up again. If you want to get your chance, it's 213-432-1090. Let's jump into those phones and talk to Randy. He's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Good morning, Randy. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm really enjoying the show. It's great to hear Bill. Bill, I wanted to ask you about your trip to Cedros, if you could go in a little more depth about the baits that you'll be using and the areas that you're going to fish.
Yeah, you know, we're just going to try it for the first time. So it's going to be on the beach that's on the southwest side, so the windward side of the island. And then to start, I think most likely, you know, we're going to use like Corey's swim baits.
MC swim baits,
really the same things that you're going to use out on the boat, with the exception of maybe some 4 or 5 ounce casting lures. And then a bobber and a feather, you know, those bobbers and feathers going back 50 years have been catching fish and keeping up above the kelp line. So that's really basically it. And then equipment-wise, you know, we're going to use braided line, and we're going to use a top shot on top of it, 40 to 60-pound top shot, a heavy top shot, because we're going to have some cover to go through there. And that's basically the setup. But I'll be able to give you much more information in the newsletter when we get back here from the trip and some pictures of how we did and maybe some techniques.
You have a surf fishing newsletter.
I'm referring to Let's Talk Hookups newsletter.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
All right. In the Let's Talk Hookup newsletter, which Bill actually produces and does a fantastic job other week. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you can do it right on the front page of our website, letstalkhookup.com. Sign up for the newsletter and get in on that those every other week. It's every other week. We tell you who's going to be on the show with pictures and stuff, and then a interesting article, whether it be on a trip. And so the next one you're going to produce will be about your trip to Cedros and what happened.
Absolutely. Hopefully a two-part series.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm hoping there'll be that
many. Exactly. There'll be too much to talk about in one.
And, of course, we always post it on our Let's Talk Hookup website, too, on the trips and trips page, or actually on the travel and trips page of letstalkhookup.com.
Absolutely.
If you don't see that.
And I've got to say, too, Pete and Rick, is that Rosie is so accommodating on what you need and how to get prepared for it and easy to contact. And it just makes it really convenient. And really, when you're flying off in basically a private plane to some unknown island, you really want somebody to take you by the hand. So once you've done it three or four times, you're going to be familiar with it, but knowing that you've never done it before, you really feel comfortable going down there. She's waiting at the border for you. It's a great operation.
Yeah, CedrosSportFishing.com. There's none better and none that you should go to other than that one.
Lots more have sprouted up in recent
times.
There is nothing like going with somebody who's been there since the beginning, and Rosie just has every little bit of it dialed. I mean, you said it best. You know, you get emailed a packet with questions that help you pack and what you prepare for. And I mean, anything that somebody hasn't done before, you're going to have some concerns. And she just addresses everything before you go. Like, you're so comfortable before you've even gotten there. And then once you do it, you realize, you know, the level of service they provide with concierge taking you back and forth directly to your plane. I mean, there's just, you can't do it wrong. You know,
Absolutely.
She just does it right. It's the best.
Absolutely. Take for that sure. stress and anxiety away. It's
totally.
A great feeling.
Hey, Todd from TB Metal Arts wants to know how to keep a ghost shrimp on the hook?
There's a good question.
Falling off.
That's always a great
really
question.
Good question.
And you know, I think a lot of people don't use ghost shrimp because
Wyatt wants to know the same.
Wyatt,
my boy has that same question. He can't tell you that yet, but he wants to know the same thing.
Well, you know, that's why a lot of people don't use ghost shrimp is because when you don't put it on the hook right and you cast it out, a little chunk of it makes it out in the water and the other piece lands on top of your head. So you got to get it on there right. But we like to use like a long shank hook, like a sprout hook or a bait holder hook or a kale hook, any one of those style. Gamagatsu makes a shiner hook that works really well for it. But the thing about ghost shrimp is that, first of all, the only part of them that's hard at all is their carapace where their legs are. So you need to go in through the very bottom of the tail, which looks like a little lobster tail, feed the hook right up the middle of the creature, and there's like the tail area that's like a lobster tail. There's a little gut area there that's maybe a quarter inch long. You go through that and then punch the hook out between the legs, right in the middle of the legs, and that thing will stay on the hook really well.
Nice.
Now, you won't be able to cast it like cast a lure and
sure.
just whale it out there. You'll be more ginger with it, but that's really the best way and really the only way to hook it, and that gives it a real natural presentation. And then the other thing, too, is if you go down to Seaforth Landing, for example, and pick up your ghost shrimp there, which they have in salt water that are, you know, alive and in salt water, and they'll scoop them out for you. If you take those home and put them in a small ice chest or a small aquarium, like a 5-gallon aquarium, you can get those at Petco, and fill it maybe halfway with salt water, put a frozen bottle of water in there, which will lower the water temperature inside that. Those ghost shrimp will not only stay alive for about 4 days, but they'll get harder and crisp.
Ooh.
And they work fantastic for bait. It slows their metabolism way down. And that's the issue with most ghost shrimp is they get mushy. And the reason they get mushy is when you get them in the little package, they urinate, and that urine kills one another. It's just like them floating in acid there.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're in this little body of cold salt water, they just stay clean and crisp. And then
you bring salt water home from the beach.
Exactly.
Yeah, or the bay or whatever.
Yeah, just save an old...
Or if you're pumping your own, just wherever you're pumping them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just save an old soda bottle and fill it up while I'm down there pumping my own, or when I go down there to pick them up at Seaforth, I just go down the dock and fill up the bottle, and then I've got that, and I just pour it in a container, put a frozen bottle of water, an old bottle of water that's halfway, mm-hmm. maybe full of a bottle that's halfway full of water, and cool that water down, which slows the metabolism down. And if you have them in an ice chest, you know, take the bottle of water out, but just take the ice chest right with you to the bay or the beach where that water's cool and they can stay in there. And
don't need a bubbler or anything like that?
No, don't need a bubbler or anything like that.
What a great tip that is.
That's a real
good awesome, Bill.
What about, I've also heard people using, like, unflavored dental floss and stuff like that to tie them on the hook. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, you know, there's silk string and there's dental floss and there's, you know, back in my dad's day, it was orange thread that they would use for things like that, kind of look like it, and the eggs and so forth. And you could do that, but that's an awful lot of effort. When I got a wide open bite going, I want to slide a bait on there and cast it out as fast as I can.
I like that you said, get yourself a nice little longer shank bait holder hook, thread that thing on, and as long as you're not just trying to surface iron cast that thing with everything you got, it's not coming off.
Exactly. And remember, in the surf, and a lot of cases in the bay, too, you're not making a long cast.
Yeah.
I mean, 80% of the fish in the surf are within 60 feet of the dry sand, and really most of those are within 10 feet.
They're right at your feet.
They're right at your feet. Many times people who wade out on the water get hit in the back of their legs by a big corbina, for example, because the fish is between them and the dry sand.
Yeah.
They're too far out.
Yeah. You know, the news last night in San Diego here, did a big story on stingrays.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I guess it's pretty rampant now in Pacific Beach, Mission Beach, and stuff like that. That's something that surf fishermen need to be aware of,
it's
right?
It's so important.
You got to do the shuffle.
You got to do the shuffle. Now, when we were up in Bolsa Chica the past couple days, there's a lot of stingrays up there. And you know, the L.A. Harbor, that area is kind of like an estuary for them, and then they spread out from there. There were over 20 people waiting in line at the lifeguard station.
Come on.
To get hot water.
Whoa.
Get their foot in a bucket of hot water.
Yeah.
And that's not the first time. I've seen that many times. And one of the big mistakes that folks make is all of us know, and hopefully we practice it, that if we go out in the water, we shuffle our feet as we go out to scare them away. the thing you have to remember is that a lot of times when you get a bite or you need to walk back in to get bait or whatever your reason is, or you walk right backwards, you won't shuffle your feet as you're coming back into shore, and you'll end up stepping on one. So shuffle going out, shuffle coming back in, you should be pretty safe.
Yeah.
That's good info. Hey, I had another really fun text. This one was from Dave in Anaheim. He said, wow, what a great show. So much great information. Can you talk a little bit more about conditions and which are the most important when assessing the beach? Are you looking for bait? Are you looking for rips? Are you looking for current, et cetera?
That's a really good question. How do you read the beach? What do you do when you get down there to the beach? So there's two different occasions for that. One is you're going to a beach that you've never been before. And let's say that you get there at high tide. Well, I always go on the berm above the beach, above the water, and look along the water and see if I see groups of birds standing on the beach, because normally in front of those birds is where the sand crabs or clams or worms are going to occur when the tide drops, and they're going to feed there. So that's one thing to look for. You're always looking for rip currents, moving water, because that's where the fish are going to be. You know, you can go to a lake and it can be very calm and the trout and bass are swimming around everywhere, but in the ocean they're always looking, surf fish are always looking for moving water, foaming water, because they have no way of getting the food themselves without it being churned up. So they're looking for a churned area. So we're looking for that. We're looking for structure. If there's things like jetties and docks and harbor entrances right along the edges where the sand meets the rock, that's where all the fish accumulate. That's where their food is in general. So those are kind of the things that we look for at the beach. And then, for example, another example would be a regular beach that you like to go to. Take a day when you look at the tide chart and it's a minus tide, and then go down there, leave your rod in the car, and walk a half a mile or a mile along the beach. Look for anomalies in the sand where there's holes or there's troughs or there's a structure like a rock that's there, which we'll see on undredged beaches. Line those up with something behind them that's permanent, not the motorhome that's going to leave in 20 minutes, but the red house or the third light pole, and then wait for high tide to come in and fill that area in. Come back, line yourself up to that pole. Fish right there. That's where the fish are going to be.
Okay.
Great dope, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, let's jump back on the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Jim? Jim's calling us from National City this morning. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, Pete, Rick, thanks for taking my call. My deal, Bill, is years ago when I was in the job market, I would be coming home from San Onofre and I'd stop in Oceanside and do a little surf fishing. I was catching a lot of perch, and the kid next to me, a local Oceanside kid, was catching corvina after corvina, and I asked, I said, hey, man, what are you doing different than me? And he goes, well, let me show you how I hook my sand crab. He had a long shank hook, and he hooked it through the shell. The hook never touched the body of the sand crab. And what that made that sand crab do, you know how they kick their legs? Well, that sand crab would bury itself in the sand, and then you'd raise your rod tip, and that was the presentation to the corvina that they wanted to eat that like that, in that presentation. So my question for you, Bill, is how do you set up your sand crabs on your hooks to present them to different species of fish in the surf?
Well, normally I'll use a Gamagatsu 50409, which is a size 2 hook. And so I'll use a 1, a 2, or a 4, 4 being the smallest, so that'd be for the smallest bait. I'm matching the hook to the bait, and 1 would be for the biggest. The second thing
and
is...
What kind of hook?
And that's a Gamagatsu 50409.
Is that a drop shot hook?
That's a drop shot.
Drop shot hook,
that's the drop shot hook. I've really been working with them to change the name to Surf Hook.
Somehow I think the market's a little bigger in drop shot. No,
I think you're probably right. Plus, I think they have 200,000 already printed up. Yeah. So much for that. But those are the hooks that I use. Super sharp, super thin wire. And then I actually cradle my sand crabs. I want my sand crab to come back to shore looking natural and not spinning underwater. If I don't put the hook, if I don't cradle it, which is where the hook goes through the top of the shell, it goes really cradles the bottom of the fish, and then we punch the sharp end of the hook through the sand crab's tail or digger, that keeps that digger down. If that digger flips open, then that thing's going to spin in a circle, and because the water's so turbid or murky, you can't tell it's spinning in a circle. A corbina that's 20 inches long, 22 inches long, is 15-year-old fish. It got 15 years old by being smart, not by being dumb and just eating anything it wants. So that's how I do it, although I have seen people use that technique, and then, of course, it will dig into the sand. You're not going to get a bite when it's in the sand, and then you're going to pop it out, and hopefully a fish is there when you do that. But cool. Corbina, you know, they're very wily, and of course they've got a billion other baits, so you want a really, you know, a fresh, lively bait and hook it correctly.
All right, great. Thanks a lot for the call.
All right. Hey, with that said, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report. Normally we're talking to Yusuf, the Angler's Realtor, but we got the man, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is filling in for our FishDope.com report today. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Bill. What a great show. And, Bill, thanks for helping Chris out with that little calendar kerfuffle there. That was very kind of you.
No problem. But, I'm glad to do it.
Man, I'm just loving listening to all this stuff. I might have to dust off my surf gear and get my ass out there.
Yeah, right? I feel the same way. It's great.
It's been good right down the street, my friend.
Yeah. I was listening where you were talking about some of that, and it's like, oh, man, I got hit going. But anyway, so we've got our Sunday recap plus more. I got pressed into service here. But, yes. Danny, if you're listening, don't think this is going to be a regular thing.
Yusuf is our regular guy, and he's got something going on, but I'd really appreciate you filling in today, Mark.
Nah, this is fun stuff. And, you know, that weather kind of kept us off the water. Where we were going is not 25-foot boat friendly, so I just we opted to just stay on the beach here, so it's fine. But anyway, up here in the Huntington Beach, Long Beach area, you know, we're kind of water-wise in the recovery mode. So that bass fishing, which has been really good, has dropped down because of the water temps. But things are bouncing back. I mean, some of the buoys are back up to 70 yesterday. So we're going to see our bass bite get back on the program. Over at Catalina, they did not get as much wind as forecast, which is good news. So conditions held up pretty good, and, you know, a lot of guys poking around there. Like I mentioned yesterday, there's a lot of big yellows over there, but they're mostly biting that light line, and that's a tough combination, big yellows, light line, and a lot of structure. So landing ratio isn't the best. But what's interesting, too, is in the bait up here now, we got a little bit more anchovies mixed in. So, you know, everybody's used to fish and sardines, but you want to definitely have like a 12-pound outfit and a number four hook for those anchovies. Man, you just destroy the calico bass and the bonito over there at the island on that lighter gear. And the carnage right now is in front of Avalon with a tank of live squid, and if they've got any left, they'll be probably taking it back to Nacho. So Nacho might have some here for the next few days. Or Komei, the bite kind of stalled out there in the cove. It just opted to die yesterday. But off the dunes was still good for the yellows and sea bass, both on the squid grounds there. Those yellows there are big, fish heavy gear guys. So I wanted to stray a little farther afield here. And yesterday, one of the callers that wanted to talk to Lasley, a very astute observation about the little, well, they're not little, those great big green bugs, June bugs. I forget what their technical name is. Yeah. But there's always been the rumor that when we see the June bugs, which typically show up in June, the marlin are shortly behind. Hmm. So somebody did not get the memo because the June bugs haven't showed. And we got a whole lot of marlin here for this time of year. So something's out of whack there. And yet the dogwood trees that I talk about in the springtime, the flowers on the dogwood trees, they were very, very late this year and very, I don't know, it's just a very weird setup. I've been watching those trees for 20 years. It was very different this year. And as expected, the sea bass bite over Catalina was kind of off to a weird site. So those guys were in correlation. And then one more tidbit here for you. You guys were talking about the stripers a little bit earlier.
Right.
And one of my customers is really into the local striped bass fishing. And, you know, like a lot of these guys that are good at what they do, you know, he's kind of stealthy. He's giving me, you know, a little bit of a clue as to where they're fishing, but I found out from somebody else that where they're fishing. That's up in L.A. Harbor. But what he was telling me, just in the other day and showing me pictures, the original stripers that they brought over and stocked from the East Coast, the stripers that have the lines down their side, those very prominent stripes, are solid black the whole way. And the ones that were stocked here from Fish and Game like 20 years ago, I mean, they put a whole bunch of stripers in Newport, a whole bunch of stripers in Huntington Harbor. And they grew up really big. And then we had some horrible red tide for a few years. And it, I mean, the amount of 20 and 30 pound striped bass that died off in Huntington Harbor was staggering. But some of them must have survived because these stripers the guys are catching now have the broken lines. They're not from the original ones that were brought here. They're definitely ones that were spawned here because some of these stripers are not very big. They're not swimming in from wherever. So I think that whole striped bass thing is ready to kind of just kick it up a notch, it looks like. There's,
wow.
There's a lot of stripers in some of the areas around here where there's a lot of current, a lot of bait. It's pretty interesting stuff. So that's this week's report. And time to go fishing, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you doing double
great
duty
report,
there, Mark. Appreciate that. And of course, fishdope.com, $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And, Mark, where do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. And the phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's pacificedgetackle.com. And I'm going to sit back, enjoy my coffee, and listen to some more of this great surfing stuff. I'm loving it. This has got a great show
cool.
going on.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Hey, I want to remind you that report is sponsored by our friends at Norisk Lithium Batteries. They're here in Southern California, designed specifically for marine use. Norisk Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norisk Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to make monitor the health and charging status by using an app on your phone. Norisk also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries. Make an investment in the very best for your boat with Norisk Lithium. Check norisklithium.com and go see the trolling motor doctor or Anglers Marine, both in Anaheim and in Lakeside, for Norisk Lithium batteries.
All right, let's jump back on the phones. 213-432-1090. Open right now.
We've got some very patient callers. Barry from Port Hueneme's on the line. What's up, Barry? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What would you use for bait here in Ventura County?
Well, you know, up there in Ventura, we're going to use some of the same things we have down here, but just a kind of an overview, I would probably look at lugworms, bloodworms, mussel, sand crabs. Those are kind of going to be the baits right now that are going to work really well in your area. And then as
and where would you get those in his area?
Hoon's, I think it's pronounced Hoon's Tackle Shop, and then there's Eric's Tackle Shop in Ventura.
Uh-huh.
There's two different choices. So Eric's is kind of in the downtown Ventura area, and then Hoon's is in the harbor there. Both of those, I believe, carry live bait there.
Live
so
bait. Okay.
You'll be able to get it there and then be able to collect some sand crabs right on the beach there.
Yeah. Lugworm. What's a lugworm?
A lugworm is an invention by, I think originally from the Koreans, I think, and then it was, of course, stolen by the Chinese. So they come over from China. They come over probably every Thursday. It's a farmed worm. It looks very similar, has some similar characteristics to a bloodworm. It's not as vicious as a bloodworm is, who will bite you and put a little neurotoxin in there and make your hand go numb for a couple minutes. They're not quite as aggressive as those. Their outside is not quite as hard or as durable, let's say, as the bloodworm is. But they're less expensive. They're about $8 for a dozen or so. They're very hardy, so you can take them to the beach. You use six of them. You can take the rest and put them home in the refrigerator. They'll live for a couple of weeks in your fridge as long as you don't disturb them. You don't need to feed them or anything. And those will all work great as bait. And whether you're using a bloodworm or a lugworm, you want to use the entire worm when you're fishing in the ocean. You don't want to be like in a lake where you use night crawlers and cut them in three pieces and throw them out.
Yeah, you use the whole thing because if you cut them in pieces, they're going to die.
They're not only going to die, but the inside, all the goodness that's inside will wash out because remember you have all that current and wave movement and all that.
Yeah.
And you're just with a piece of skin.
Yeah.
And the fish aren't looking for the skin. They're looking for the end.
So what do you like better, bloodworm or lugworm or bloodworm?
If you were to put me on an island and I only had one choice, it would definitely be the bloodworm.
Oh.
The bloodworm has been proven since the 20s. It's a very durable bait.
They just bite you.
They just bite you. You just have to be careful. And if it bites you, you know, you've got these little fangs. It's okay. You want to take it off. But I learned a lesson. I allowed one to bite me, and I was busy doing something else, and I wasn't paying attention. It was hanging on, and my whole arm went numb for 15 minutes.
Oh,
really? Are you serious? Wow.
I'm serious. So,
what a trip.
So it was a real potent one. So, yeah, if they pinch you, feel them pinching, just pull them off. You're good.
Yeah, but best way to hold them, I'm guessing, is by the head. Can you distinctly? I have never seen you can tell which side is the head.
Absolutely, because they have like four little fangs that come out that are probably like, gosh, sometimes as much as maybe a quarter inch long. So you can definitely tell the head from the tail.
No kidding.
From that standpoint.
And I guess the name is apropos then.
That's right.
Bloodworm, right?
Not only are they kind of bloody inside, but they may make you bloody inside.
Yeah, oh boy.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup and more phone calls. Again, if you want to get through, a great opportunity here, 213-432-1090. We've got an open phone line right now. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com. If it was possible to improve near perfection in a lever-drag saltwater reel, Shimano is the company that can do it. Introducing the all-new Talica 12A and 16A two-speed lever-drag reel. These new Talica reels raise the bar of Shimano's flagship reel again with ultra-smooth reeling and powerful drag performance to conquer long battles with trophy game fish. The addition of Shimano's innovative Infinity Drive technology leverages a new drag design to increase drag force and produce up to 30% lighter rotation during tough battles. The new generation of Talica now features X-Protect technology to boast high-level water resistance in vital areas. These new Shimano reels feature a Hagani body made of highly rigid aluminum to reduce the reel's overall weight. The palming side plate is an additional 6% smaller than the previous generation. Push the limit. Shimano's all-new Talica 12A and 16A reel, available at your local Shimano dealer.
Hey, San Diego. The Make It Ford Summer Sales Event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer now through September and make it your best summer yet. Get great offers on the most popular Ford trucks and SUVs. And experience hands-free highway driving technology with Ford Blue Cruise, available on select vehicles. It's the Make It Ford Summer Sales Event, and that means now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking surf fishing. What a fun show today has been. Again, if you want to join us, 213-432-1090 is how you reach us on the phone, or keep those texts rolling in on the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, Dave in Poway writes, Bill, thank you for your outstanding production of the CCA calendar. It's a highlight every new year and a useful tool referenced throughout it. So you must be, and it is too. I mean, I have one in my office there. And, of course, you can see the ad for Let's Talk Hookup on there and all kinds of good stuff. What you must be in full production.
We're in the middle of it now.
2025, yeah?
Yeah. We really start in about April.
Yeah.
April's on it. We are going to have some incredible photographs here. So that's, of course, the reason we love it. But more importantly, it's got that tide chart on it. And whether you're a boat fisherman, a surf fisherman, a bay fisherman, that tide chart is really going to give you the clues.
You want to know how steep the dock cart descent is going to be before you left? We look at it every morning for that thing, like, well, the boys are going to have a tough time this morning, or it's going to be nice and flat.
Like those big tides we just had last week, man. It was like, like, oh, watch out for that duck hunt.
Yeah, I do the same thing when we're long range fishing. Yeah, we're like, we're coming back on Sunday. What's the tide in the morning?
Yeah. Well, and the greatest invention ever is that that gasoline powered cart pusher, right?
Yeah. Chris and the boys do not mess around, man. Yeah. They got it dialed in.
Got to have that one. That ramp is steep for those big, heavy carts. I don't know. Did anybody ever weigh one of those carts? They must weigh hundreds of pounds.
They're heavy, dude. Yeah. They are they've taken out more than a bumper or two, you know, and somebody's going to get wild with one of those things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, Brandon Bono from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and, of course, our Let's Talk Hookup co-host is on the line. Good morning, Brandon.
What's up, B?
Hey, Brandon. Good morning, fellas. Great show.
Hey, so you just came back from Katmai Lodge up on the Alagnak River in Alaska, and tell us about your trip.
It was a truly phenomenal trip, and what an amazing place. You know, it was a place that I never knew I've always wanted to go to until I went there. You know, the operation that they're running is first class. The style of fishing is something I've desired to do since I was a small boy and never thought about it. You know, never thought that, you know, I my soul needs to go to the middle of mainland Alaska and go way up a river and catch all the species of salmon. And to be honest, you know, I went up there with the mindset that I was going to go fish conventional tackle, spinning gear, because that's what I know, that's what I grew up fishing, and that's what I know to fish for, that type of fishing within a river. And I get there only to find that fly fishing might be my new passion, you know, my new side hobby to my passion. I loved the fly fishing so much, and I never thought I would. It was a special, soulful way of fishing, and very, very zen and very different than anything I've ever done in the past.
And very, very effective, as you saw, too, right?
Oh, more effective than spinning gear, which I would not have believed if you told me, which people did tell me, and I didn't believe them. I thought they were all liars.
You're not forced to fish. My story was exactly the same. Like, they have fantastic
spinning
gear.
I'm not throwing them. What's he want?
If you want to use it, it's there, and they've got it. But man, just like Brandon says, like, it's... that's the spot. Like, that's the more effective tool.
And there's just the nature aspect of the place. You know, the lodge itself. You're in the middle of tundra. You know, the closest town is King Salmon, and it's a float plane ride away. And there's just nothing around you. There's not even a dirt road anywhere near you. And they're putting out first class food. It's just unreal the amount of food that they put out. The service that they give is 10 out of 10. It truly is. And the lodging themselves, the rooms are fantastic. You know, you get your own room. You're very comfortable the whole time. Bob just does such an amazing job. And what an awesome guy in just general. He's just a jack of all trades and just seems to be good at everything. And I just can't say enough quality things about that lodge, that operation. And big shout out to Harold Davis. You know, he's a leader of men, and what a charming fella. And I would travel to the ends of the world with that guy. Awesome dude.
That's so cool. And tell me your feeling when you saw your first brown bear.
You know, I desperately wanted interactions with bears. You know, I've never been anywhere that had brown bears before, and I desperately wanted an interaction. And then the very first interaction, you know, the son of a gun got too close. He was just like right on top. He was right on top of me. He wanted my stringer of salmon, it went from like, wow, look at that bear, to like, whoa, let's get away from this bear, you know?
My favorite was hearing Brandon's story of, like, his guide telling, you know, like, Brandon had a nice stringer of fish, and his guide looking way up river and saying, like, hey, man, you know, there's bear there. He's kind of coming our way. Let's gather up. Let's go on. And Brandon did the same thing that, like, every half-day passenger does when the anchor's pulling. Like, oh, no, that doesn't mean go. That means hurry up and try to get a couple more in. Like, next thing you know, like, trying to get a couple more in, like, that was the amount of time from bear to be way long a ways to not so far away.
Yeah, like, okay, we got to go now.
And another aspect of the Katmai Lodge that I wasn't unaware of before I went is there's other opportunities of amazing like adventures to do when you go there. When you go there, you could go see the ancient Russian church that was abandoned when the Russians left. You can go to the Brooks Falls and see where all the National Geographic pictures are taken of these bears feeding upon the salmon. There's all kinds of cool trails and opportunities to do stuff in nature that you really can't do anywhere else. It's a first class operation. I will have dreams of that place in the future.
So, did you get a chance to go up into the Braids and try for some trout and some grayling?
We were going to one day, the very final day, because we had many days of rain, and then the last couple of days we had sunshine, and you kind of need sunshine to go get up in that skinny water. And on the very last day, we were going to go up there, but I had been smashing chums on the fly for the previous 2 days, and the thought of doing anything else other than smashing giant chum salmon on the fly was lame to me. So I wanted to go back and catch more chums, and that's what we did, and it was just awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, I've always thought that fly fishing were for gentlemen that maybe had a little extra sugar in the tank. And now I realize I'm one of those guys. I got more extra sugar in the tank.
Welcome to the club.
Right.
So you caught chum salmon, you caught sockeye salmon, you caught king salmon, you caught a trout, you caught a grayling, right?
Yep. Yeah. On the very first day of getting there, I caught every species of fish that was in the river currently on conventional tackle. And then the next 48 hours, I caught every species of fish that was in the river at the current time on fly gear, and I prefer the fly. I really do.
That's cool.
There you go. You're a convert for sure. Katmai Lodge, of course, we're going to be going back. This will be our ninth annual Let's Talk Hookup Harold Davis Boats trip up to Katmai July 12 through 19. And rumor has it that Rock Cod Rick's going to go on that.
I'm going, man.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah, after hearing these stories, how can you not go, right?
Dude,
and the trip books up, like, it may already be booked up, but give a call. Call to Charmel in the office there, katmai.com, katmai.com. I'm telling you,
it's a
like
special
I told Brian. Yeah, Ricky's been there, and I don't think you would have believed me, Brandon, until Rick told you when this opportunity surfaced that you could go to Katmai that it was as good as it was. Did it exceed your expectations?
It did, and it provided something I never knew. I lusted for it. It was the most. I've been all over and fished for all these things and been very fortunate to do a tremendous amount of things. This might have been the most pure form of fishing I've ever experienced. Some of the most soulful moments I've ever had in like nature, just period. Like I've never been so happy to be in nature and have such unique experiences. Yeah, I can't wait to go back there one day.
You're in real wilderness up there.
Yeah.
Like the real. And like, I love the way you said it. Like, there's not even a dirt road. I mean, there's not a dirt road anywhere close to you. No. Like, you are out there.
If you want to go somewhere, you go down a bear track.
Yeah.
And the thing is Brandon, from the description of the, from you and Harold, you have the gnarliest weather. I've been there 12 times. You have the gnarliest weather that I've ever heard of up there, and it can get gnarly, but you had beyond gnarly, and you still had a great time.
Yeah, I was always told Alaskan, in Alaska the weather can change every 10 minutes, and boy did it really give us every taste of Alaska. We got a little bit of everything, but in hindsight, looking back on it, I really enjoyed the seeing everything nature could throw at you.
That's so cool. Well, if you want to hear more stories, go see Brandon in the tackle store at Fisherman's Landing there, and talk about when he's going to buy his next fly rod.
Yeah. Great job, buddy.
All right, good job, Brandon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Hey, well, the phones are packed up, and so are the texts. And we had a great text come through for Bill. And just, good morning, guys. I've been waiting so long for this show. I love surf fishing, especially since there's no boat to work on when I'm done. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem catching all the usual suspects like Corbina and Perch, but the spot fin have really stayed very elusive for me. How would you target them? Are they deeper? I usually fish sand crabs, and I typically target Pacific and Mission Beach areas. That's from Rory in Lakeside.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question, Rory, about the spot fin. And there are specific places where you find way more of them than others. Anywhere where you have an estuary, harbor entrance, bay coming out of the ocean is where you're going to find these spot fin. They love to go in and out of the bay. And although they eat everything, they love clams and ghost shrimp and things that they're going to find in the bay. So, Bologna Creek is a place. Huntington Beach at Bolsa Chica Wetlands is another spot. Talbert Marsh, Santa Ana River, and then down here, San Diego. I can't pronounce it correctly. Outlet there in Carlsbad is an excellent place.
San Dieguito.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
And that's a great spot. And then anywhere around San Diego Harbor, you're going to find them too, both in the bay and then out near the entrances of the bay. And the question is, you know, what are you going to use for bait for them? Believe it or not, I've caught them on just about everything. I've caught them on plastic grubs, and I've caught them on clams. I've caught them on sand crabs and all that. They do occur generally farther out into the surf line, not past the surf line, but maybe out by closer to the second break. But that doesn't mean that I haven't caught them really close to shore. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, I was on the beach, and I looked over to the side, and as the wave went away, there were two of them that were digging nose-to-nose to eat sand crabs that actually came out of the water and flopping on the sand.
Wow.
And I took a quick picture of the two of them there. So they're close in. They're far out, I think, more times than not. They're a little bit farther out in the surf than the Corbina.
And they get
and
pretty big, too, right?
And they get big. They get up to, I think, the state record's about 12.5 pounds.
Woo. And they pull.
They pull hard. They've got big shoulders on them. They're like a cousin to the drum on the East Coast. And and I've seen one as big as 20 pounds caught.
Oh, no, in Mexico. Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Same species.
That's a good
same
one.
Species.
Thought
it when we saw it pulled up on the beach. We're camping down there. Thought it was a big white sea bass the guy had got, about 20-pound white sea bass. I was like, wow, that's great. We ran down there to look at it and said, wow, that's a nice sea bass. Oh, no, that's a spot fin croaker. Look at this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing.
Crazy.
Wow, that's cool.
So California, about 12 or 13 pounds is the biggest we see, and there are quite a few of them that are in the, I'm going to say, the 7 to 10-pound range.
Sweet.
Quite
awesome.
A few of them.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot for that. Appreciate that, and let's jump back in the phone.
You got it, man. Ernie from Canyon Country is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Ernie?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener. And I do surf fishing quite a bit, and I use the sea rig, the high-low rig, and then the jerkbait rig. But is there another technique that would work better than what I've been using?
I would say that probably 90% of the time I'm going to use the Carolina rig. It's such an effective rig in the surf. And then maybe 10% of the time I'm basically going to fly line, believe it or not, in the surf. Or I'm going to take 6-pound fluorocarbon and use a uni-to-uni knot onto my main line, put a sand crab on there, and cast it out very close to shore and just let the wave action take it in and out. But those are really the two options, and more times than not, that Carolina rig. And something to remember about that Carolina rig is the bigger the surf, the heavier your sinker, the shorter your leader. The smaller the surf, the lighter your sinker, and the longer the leader. And the reason for that is all surf fish feed right on the bottom. So if you go out and the waves are, you know, waist high, chest high, and you've got a 36-inch leader, your bait is 2 feet off the bottom. There's nothing that's going to be feeding 2 feet off the bottom but a smelt or maybe a bonita that comes in close. But other than that, all surf fish are running their chin right along the sand, feeling for movement, looking for things to be exposed and eating.
So when the surf's bigger, it's more stirred up, so you can get away with a shorter leader. Is that the idea?
You need a shorter leader because you have a longer leader.
Like, what's a longer leader in the smaller surf? How long is that?
I would, in bigger surf, I'd use as short as a 12-inch leader.
And then how long is a long one?
And then a long leader, let's say we're in October, it's Santa Ana conditions, it's really calm, 36-inch leader.
Okay.
Because I want my bait to always be on the bottom. That's where the surf fish are feeding.
And the variety of sinker would be from what ounce to what ounce?
I'm normally going to use an eighth ounce sinker if I'm fishing in or near rocks so it doesn't get snagged. And then generally on the open beach, half ounce or three quarter ounce. If it's really windy in the afternoon, I see white caps out there, which means it's blowing more than 12 knots. I can use a 1 ounce sliding sinker.
Okay, very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's jump back. You have a great text.
I thought so. Yeah, good morning. A little different venue. Good morning, guys. I'm headed down to Bay of L.A. for the first time next week. Do you have any suggestions for a setup for me to use for some afternoon surf fishing? I'm also interested in Bill's take on hooking sand crabs. I know you gave the description. I was hoping you could run it down for us one more time. I've been shown by several people different methods, and I really enjoyed Bill's take. That's from Patrick and Dana Point.
Okay. Hey, Patrick, first of all, if you're going to Bay of L.A. this time of year, you want to take about 2,000 pounds of ice with you.
Yeah.
Because it's hot down there. I've been there in June. A good friend of mine, his dad lived there for 22 years, so we'd go stay at his house. I've been there in June where it's 117 degrees at midnight, so it can get pretty warm down there.
Stop by Summit on your way down.
Yeah,
that's right.
Load up at Summit.
Definitely. Fill up at Summit. Get at least 100 pounds. That you can sleep with it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place and a wonderful place to fish. There's all kinds of cabrilla there, yellowtail. There's really good clamming there, and there's some unbelievably big mussel there. There's mussel that are a foot long.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. And quite a few sea bass down in that area, really well inside the bay where you wouldn't think that they are. And then surf fishing along there, you might be lucky and get some exotic fish in there. There's so many of those cabrilla there. They're just overwhelming. I remember using a bait catching rig and getting six at once, which was entertaining, like those guys using the A-rig, you know, get all the calico bass at once. And then just use the same light line that we're going to use up here in the surf, up here in the Carolina rig, because you have very little water movement inside the bay there, just kind of the natural current that's happening there, but you don't have any surf there.
And then real quick, sand crab again.
Sand crab. We're going to cradle the sand crab. So we're going to take the hook, and a sand crab has a skinny end, which is its head, and then it's got a wider end, which is its tail, where the digger is. You'll see that digger down by its legs. You're going to put the sharp end of the hook right through the shell, top of the shell down, and go right, and then turn it forward so it cradles those legs, and then punch the hook right through that digger and up through the top of the shell. All you want is the very tip of that hook punching through the shell. You don't need it to all the way go to the barb, just enough so it's punched through, so when the fish crushes it, the hook sticks right in its mouth.
There you go.
That's awesome, man. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves that Gamakatsu full surf fishing package. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally, all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Surgeon Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at surgeonsportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's searchersportfishing.com. Look forward to welcoming you aboard.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water. The culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life. To achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide. Rule the water.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
All right, welcome back. We're going to find out who's got themselves that full Gabakatsu kit. Bill, do us the honors. We have a texter today. Congratulations. Todd from TV Metal Art, you got yourself the full Gabakatsu kit. What a great prize. And, man, thanks to Gabakatsu for making that
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, Ted really Gabakatsu cool. is the man.
Absolutely.
He's such a good guy. And you're the man. Thanks for doing all you do for Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for the calendar. Thanks for all you do for CCA. Oh, and, of course, all you do for Surf Fishermen out there, too, Bill. We sure appreciate all your efforts. And if somebody wants more information on surf fishing...
Absolutely. Just go to my site, fishthesurf.com. And if you want to see the tackle I use on the beach every day, surffishtackle.com. And thank you so much, Pete and Rick, for having
really
me again.
Night.
I'm always great to come here. Man, that's the fastest 2 hours.
Yeah, it goes quickly,
life,
doesn't it?
Get ready.
Yeah. So much going on. And we're just so grateful for all the efforts that you put in for not just Let's Talk Hookup doing our bi-monthly newsletter, but also the efforts that you put in for CCA. You work very, very hard. And
thank you.
And that's appreciated.
That.
And all the money and time you put into that calendar. I don't know what we'd do without that calendar.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We need it.
Thank you so
yeah,
much.
And watch
it.
For it to come probably
it's
in November,
gonna,
huh?
It's going to be out in end of October,
end of
early
October.
November. That's the time
okay.
to look for it
we'll
in the
watch
store.
For it. All right. Hey, thanks for JP at Man and the Board and the Phones. We're very grateful for his expertise. And thanks, JP, for being there. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup website. On the Let's Talk Hookup app. We sure appreciate what he does. And thanks to you out there for being with us. Next Saturday, I will be at Queen Charlotte Safaris
and
having fun there. Probably give you a report on Sunday. Carl Schmidt will be here with Rick and Corey next Saturday from Fisherman's Landing. Next Sunday, a really interesting show with Eric Sheets from Cal's Custom Reels and Wes Coogan from Ken's Custom Reels next Sunday. That's some good knowledge there. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. And let's talk a kebab.